Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday! I hope that you have had the most amazing week. We know weeks are long and it is amazing to be here. First of all, let me welcome you to Conversations with Toy. I am Toy the podcaster. I am also a content creator, a blogger, a writer for freelance as well. I do a lot of things and wear a lot of hats. I did not record a podcast last Friday because it just, my timing and my schedule just did not allow, and I didn't want to just put anything out. So we are back with this season. We are still in season 10 and I'm excited to be here. Now, today we are going to bring in a guest. We are going to bring in a guest and it's going to be a very special guest, but I'll get to that in a minute. But today is a very special day. Not only is it Friday, not only have we gotten to the weekend, it's now Mother's Day weekend to all of the amazing moms out there, but it is also my birthday. That is right. I am 43 of years of age as of today. I am excited. I get so excited for birthdays. I do this thing called Toybration, and in Toybration world, we basically, and it's my world, obviously, but I create the birthday that I want. And it's because, you know, growing up, you know, when you get birthdays, you don't always like the birthdays you get. And I now know that I'm grown enough to make my own. And so that's what I do. It's called Toybration. It is a celebration. And I'm excited to be 43 years. 43 years on this earth is like a bucket in real life. But it's an honor and gratefulness because when you see people passing at younger ages, even 43 is something to be special, and I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for life. I am a twin, so I want to shout out my own twin and say happy birthday to you, Tiara. I love you. I hope that your birthday is going to be amazing, but I already know that it is because we are hanging out. So I cannot wait to see you. I cannot wait to spend our birthdays, get a little cocktail, a little bit of food, and just enjoy our night, our day. I can't wait. So happy birthday to you. And it is Mother's Day weekend, and I want to shout out all the amazing moms. It is not easy. It is not a job that everybody can do, even though everybody thinks they can. Trust me, you cannot. You have to have the mindset to really want to do it. You have to have the mindset to do it and want to do it well, because having kids is a lot of work. Having kids will pull on a trigger of things that you've had go through when you were younger. And if you're not ready for that, please don't mess over nobody's kids. And being your kids, don't do that. Today's guest is my mom. My mother is today's guest. And I thought it would be amazing to have her on here because my mom and I have a great relationship now. I believe that our relationship is good, and I want to do everything I can to keep that relationship going. When I was younger, I felt moments of frustration with the way that my mother parented us. And we're going to talk about that. Now, I'm actually grateful for my mom since we've already recorded this conversation and we're bringing it to you today. I'm grateful for her being willing to have that conversation, and some things that she said today in that conversation has really been really helpful. And it's been helpful because, you know, as a child in my various stages, I was so frustrated with my mother's parenting. And that was because, again, it took my therapy to have that conversation with me of looking at her and through to her and the things that she was or wasn't doing from the place of grace. Although I do believe that, again, there's things that we should always just be aware of. And my mom talks about that in today's episode. And I'm really grateful for that. Not everybody has the opportunity to have this type of conversation with their parent. And I'm grateful that we were able to have it. So for all the moms and those who are not even moms, like sometimes just hearing it, even if you're not a mom, you have a mom. And some people's relationship with their moms, as we talk about in this podcast, is strained. They don't have the best relationship. The mom isn't as receptive. But I'm grateful. I believe in my heart that God wanted me to have this conversation with my mother. And we just so happened to have it in front of y'all, basically. And it was a receptive conversation, and it was a conversation that I felt like I needed to have, and I felt like it did me some great, and I hope it does you some good too. And I hope that if you are having a strained relationship with your mom, that your mom will get to a place where you can have it. I can't say that I felt that we would have been able to have this conversation in years past, not the way we had it today, because I learned a lot about my mom just in this conversation today. And again, I hope that you hear something that resonates with you, but I also hope that you hear some things that you can also change about the way you parent if you are parenting and struggling with some things too. Because one of the things we talked about in this episode is communication. My mom did not have the best communication. Like she said, it was her way. You do it because she said it, and that was that. There was no wiggle room. My kids have the ability to speak, not necessarily while I'm giving an instruction, but they can talk to me in a way that I was not able to do so as a child. Most parents, especially Black mamas, you ain't gonna tell your Black mama nothing. You ain't gonna tell them anything. But I'm grateful that she said that. That was very helpful for me to hear her say that even on today's episode. So I hope that it does something for you. I want to shout out moms because moms are the backbone of your existence. Without moms, you don't get here. You don't just pop up on your own. You come through a mother. I believe everybody, whatever their life story is, good, bad, and indifferent, I feel like it does make you or break you. And I feel like only you can decide if it's going to make you. I have decided to allow everything that has ever, and I mean ever, happened to me, not just from my parents, from friends, from old relationships, from every angle, to make me a better person. I choose every day to be better. I work hard every day to become a better version of myself. I don't feel like a lot of people do that. I feel like a lot of times, because they're not in the place to be receptive of that, you make decisions based upon what somebody else may have said and done, or what somebody may have said or did to you. And I just choose to do things just a little differently because I see the reward in that. I see the peace that has come into my life. I see the peace that has come into those who are around me because I'm choosing every day to do the best job that I can for myself, for my family, especially for my children. And I'm grateful, good, bad, or indifferent. I am grateful. That's one of the things that I've learned over the years in counseling, and therapy. And this is why I say, your mental health can be deflected upon your parenting, the way you were parenting. I believe that 100%. I also believe that there comes an adult time when you have to make responsibilities. You can either be bound by the things that have happened to you, or you can make a change. You can make a decision. And every day I wake up, I make a decision to be amazing, to myself first. And I know that sounds selfish, and my name does mean selfish, as you will hear my mother say, because she named me. But here's the thing. I have to have selfish moments because if I change and do all these things for other people, it won't stick. If I change only for my husband, it's not going to stick. If I change only for my children, it's not going to stick. But if I make the changes for me, they get to benefit from those changes. So that's why I talk about having that selfish moment. I'm really grateful. I am grateful for this conversation. I really am in my feels about that because, again, this was a conversation that really did need to happen, and I'm grateful for it. I don't think it would have happened in any circumstance. And I also want to make a preface. I never told her what we were talking about. I never gave her a heads up. Whatever came to my heart, I spoke about it, and she answered it, and she was open to answering it. And I'm grateful. And even after we got off the conversation, off of the podcast, after we recorded, it was all love. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm telling you, for those who know me, you'd be like, girl, what in the world? But I'm grateful. So again, we are going to get into this conversation, and happy Mother's Day to all the amazing, beautiful moms. I do want to talk about one thing before we get into this conversation. Yesterday was Children's Mental Health Day. If you are the mindset that you grew up like I grew up hearing people say kids don't have real problems because they don't have bills to pay, I need you to pump a brake. I am going to place that link in the bio so that you can read about the conversation that I have talking about, not necessarily a conversation, but the blog post that I wrote about children's mental health. Yes, children don't have to pay bills. That's 100% true. They don't have to pay bills, but they also did not ask to come here. That is something you did. You brought them here by the means of however you did it. It ain't none of my business, but you got them here. And so because they are here, they don't need to have them what you've done thrown into their faces, because that's completely counterproductive. Another thing is kids do stress. I don't know what it feels like to go to school and have to do tests and drills because there could be an active shooter. That's not something that I grew up with. There were people shooting at kids, I'm sure, but not in the large scales that we have now. I pray every single day over my children to make sure that they come back to me and they know that when they're out of my presence, that they are the most loved because they're going into a world that doesn't love them. And so I pray about that every day. If I had to go through just basically college with social media, it would be a wreck. I was telling my mom that the other day. If I had social media the way we social media now, back when I was in college, I'm telling you right now. I am telling you right now, it'd be a misunderstanding. Do you understand? And our kids are in a social media world where they are being judged by their looks. You got AI being able to interpret different looks for people. And so you're not getting the real from people. And kids are under so much stress. They have friendships that they're trying to figure out because remember, they're human, right? You remember they're people, they're little people that are trying to learn themselves. They're trying to learn themselves in a world that, again, is not meant to love them back. So to say that kids doesn't do not have stress because they're not paying bills is asinine. I think what you need to say is once you start adding in paying bills, your stress will become increased. But to say that a child does not have stress, to say that a child does not have mental health issues is a lie. And I think we need to have that conversation more so that we can be of help to our kids. Some people don't even get the help that their kids need because they're so concerned about their kids being labeled that they would worry more about what people think about their kid or about themselves or about their parenting with their kids than they are willing to get their children the help that they need. I have a very open conversation with my children about their therapy, about my therapy, about needing help. If they need extra things, we're going to go ahead and get it for them. You know why? Because I'm not concerned about what people think about my parenting. I'm not concerned about what they think about me or even what they think about my child. What I'm concerned is how does my child feel about themselves? How do they feel every single day when they're in this world that's designed to take them out? I'd rather for my children to be emotionally sound and to have the tools that when they're not feeling as emotionally sound, because they're going to have those moments when they're not feeling their best and when they can't speak because they feel like they're going to be judged, that they have the tools to handle that. And that doesn't start when they become an adult and they finally can get help because we don't want nobody in our business. Be in my business. I'm not doing anything in this house that somebody couldn't come and talk to me about because I want my kids to thrive. So, if you are of the mindset that you don't want nobody in your business, so you tell your kids they're not allowed to speak to their therapist or even have one, I need you to change that. Because again, if you think that you love your child, love them enough to give them the tools. And sometimes that tools are going against you. Do you know how many times my kids have said, "Mommy, I don't like the way you said that," and been respectful? My kids are respectful. I'm grateful for that. They have never gotten in my face. They have never done any of those things because we respect them. And so they have no choice but to give the same respect that they're given. And so when they tell me things like, "Mom, I don't like the way you say that," it hurts. It pricks. But I receive it and I adjust and I apologize with changed behavior because we're teaching them that apologies are from changed behavior, not simply just saying, "I'm sorry." So again, please read that blog post. It is in the link in the bio. Please share it with others because there could be so many people that really can gravitate and really learn and really get what they need to get from that moment. So please do that. In addition to that, I'm just grateful for being here. I'm grateful for today, and I'm grateful to have this conversation. Happy Mother's Day to all moms, and thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. Let's get into this conversation with my own mom. And I don't even think I said her name because, she's just mom to me. But my mother's name is Rhonda Allen, and she's my mom. But we're having this conversation, and I hope that it helps you in some way. And again, if this is a conversation that you cannot have with your mom, I would hope that you would just imagine yourself having that conversation with your mom because it's very healing to be able to say, "I didn't do something right," and to be admit to that and not feel pricked, at least not enough to combat things and just being able to be open. So, without any further ado, I want to thank my mom for being on this podcast. It's Mother's Day. Celebrate the moms in your life. And if you don't have your mom in your life because she's transitioned, or you don't have your mom in your life because she's not doing the things that you want her to do, and so your relationship is strained, you may have a no contact relationship. I am praying for you hard this weekend. This is one of the hardest weekends for so many people. And for those who have transitioned, there's so many people that are going to be visiting grave sites. Instead of giving their mom flowers in real life, they are giving them flowers over the grave. And this is why it's important for moms and dads too, but specifically mom, because it's mom's weekend, it's important for you to try to build and mend relationships with your children and by being honest about what things you haven't done, because I'd rather give my mother flowers here on earth than to just scatter them or throw them at her grave just because I'm frustrated with her or not even visit her at all. And so I just want you to just take that in consideration. But we need the moms also to be willing to do their part, because as much as we look at kids and say that's still your mom, I'm not a believer of that. I believe that you should protect yourself and your mental health. And I believe that you need to be, two people have to come together to make the relationship work. And that's across the board. You can't tell me that in your marriage, you can only have one person work and it's going to work out. It doesn't. It takes two to tango and it takes two to make it work. And so some people are not having that. They don't have that in their life and they're hurting. They're hurting for their moms who are alive but are dead to them. It's just the truth. And so I'm praying hard for you. I'm praying hard for those who don't have a village, the single moms who feel overly stressed, who are going to be preparing the meals today when it comes to Mother's Day and doing all those things and not get a thank you in return, not get a car, not get a spa, not get a gift, not get a flower. You know, those are hurtful moments. But I promise you, if you do right by your children, they're going to do right by you in the future. And if you love on them kids the right way, they're going to love on you when they get the means and the resources to. They're going to shower you with the gifts they couldn't give you. And I know it's hard now. I know it is. But I just admonish you to do the things that you can do to make a difference in your child's life, to be there and not hold it over against them because you're a single parent and the father, you know, basically ain't shit and they didn't do this and do that. I want you to just think about how your child feels. And I want you to think about the ways you can make them a better person. And I hope that one day your kids will rise up and call you blessed, because that is what the Bible talks about. Even if you don't believe in the Bible, the principle of it is that if you put that type of good energy into the world, you'll receive it back. And when you're not receiving it back, you need to have a conversation with God, yourself, and your child. I believe that 1,000%. So without any further ado, I done said that three times. Let's get into this conversation with my mother, Rhonda Allen. All right, Conversations with Toy Family. I have a very interesting guest today, a very special guest. It is nobody other than my mom. This is the first time I've ever had any parent. I don't even think I've had I had a family member. I had my brother on when he was with his, talking about his group. So this is the first time that I've had any other family member on here, but it's my mom, because we are talking about mothers, because this weekend, in case you live in a box, is Mother's Day. So I want to say a special thank you, and mom, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, y'all. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, all the good moms, all the moms. So with us talking about Mother's Day, I just wanted to say thank you for being a good mom and thank you for all the things that you've done. And I wanted to know, like, with being a mom, you know, obviously having kids is not easy. Because it just ain't, no matter how prepared you are, no matter how many resources you have, it's not easy. So what would you say was one of the things that you, what would you say was not necessarily a negative thing, but something that you felt like you weren't as prepared for when it came to motherhood?
You know what, giving it some thought today, I really thought about it. And my biggest, I will say, regret or thought of just negativity was not having enough balance. I discovered just in various areas of life at different times, but especially parenting, that there must be a balance. Like when you don't have balance, it's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, so what do you mean by balance in motherhood? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think especially a single mom and you have more than one child, you got to balance how you put yourself in their situations. Like you guys play sports, you know what I mean? Xavier was doing acting and different things, and we needed a balance to be able to be at all these events. Now, mind you, trying to juggle motherhood and balance is an art form. So you just got to work at it.
That is indeed very much true. What did you think about, you know, a lot of single moms, they don't always have the best support system. Did you have a support system when you were first becoming a mom?
I did. My mom was my support system, but then, nobody wants to live with their mom indefinitely. So I had to strike out on my own. And in doing that, then I found that I didn't have a very big village. I was the village. But you make it work.
Right. What is one thing if you like, and you can elaborate as much or as little as you want, but what would be one thing if you could go back and change it? What would be that one, at least one thing that you would go back and change?
Let's come back to that. Let me give that some thought because I don't just want to throw any response out there. Let me think about that a little bit.
Okay. So for those who don't know, my mom, just to give some back history, my mother got pregnant. Were you 17 or 18? I know you had us at 18. You got pregnant at 17.
Yes.
Okay, so she got pregnant at 17. She had us, and by us, I mean I'm a twin. I've said this numerous times, and people be like, "Are you like acting like y'all don't know?" But I do have a twin. So one of the things too is that she didn't know she was having twins until what month?
My 7th month, and then I had you guys in my 8th month.
So this whole time for 7 months, she was preparing her mind for a one child and to finding out that she was having two. And 30 days later, we came. As you know, twins usually don't go to 9 months. They go between 7 and 8, really, usually, if not before that, just because of complications. So how was that when you first found out? What was your first thought? For, when you first found out that you were having twins, like, what was your first thought?
What is happening? Because it was a shock because, I mean, one thing about finding out that you're pregnant at 17, your mindset isn't adult. And so I felt like, well, these kids, you're gonna have a baby, they wash themselves, they dress themselves, No, it doesn't work like that. Everything they need or you needed, I had to supply. So I had to change my mindset to having one baby. Then when I found out I was having two babies, I was like, what? Oh God. But I did it, but it was hard because when you have two babies, you got to grab the one that's in the most detriment of killing themselves while the other one just run free till you can get to them because you can only be in one place at one time. So it was interesting, but it was hard. It was hard.
So I'm going to take this moment to say, how were we as babies, me and Tierra?
Well, we already know.
But they don't know. The people listening don't know, so they would love to hear how you would think I was as a baby.
Well, Toy was always the one who was in charge. Toy would pull her sister down in the playpen and stand on her back so she could, because she wanted to get out first. Toy was just the scrappy one, and her sister Tierra was, as she is now, the laid back one, just letting her stand on her back, just looking with their big eyes at me, and I'm like, really, y'all gotta stop. But they were fun. Toy was always the sassy one, and Tierra was always the laid back one, and it still is true today.
I was just about to say that in case y'all ever knew. If you had any doubt, I definitely still am the sassy one. And my sister was actually born 2 minutes before me. Two minutes before me. However, between her and my brother, I feel like they rely on me the most. So,
They do.
but it is what
And
it is.
may I say that they were born in a hospital where the city of Youngstown was in a blackout and the hospital was running on a generator. So it was just one of them days.
According to my grandmother, I was born under a lighter, pretty much. Kept flicking
Yeah.
the light of the lighter just so somebody could see us come out, because that's basically
That's true.
what happened. Okay, so now you have these two babies. What has been some of the lessons? Because again, we were your first kids. Xavier, my little brother, was your second set of kid. So how do you feel that your motherhood between the two sets differed?
Well, For one thing, by the time I had Xavier, which you guys are 7 years apart, by the time I had him, I was all in. Like, I knew what to expect. I knew what needed to be done. So I just did it. Like, I wasn't sleep deprived with him, although he was up like a normal baby, but I knew I had to get up. So I just did it. But when I had you in the beginning, I had to learn to get up. I had to put one in one arm and one in between my legs with a bottle and somebody propped up with a bottle. You know what I mean? It was all these different things that I didn't know for you, but I knew for him.
Okay. And then, as you got older, what has been some of the lessons that you've learned in your motherhood? Like, what are some of the lessons that you've learned as you, like, basically on the job training? Because nobody, I don't care how, like I said in the very beginning, it doesn't matter how quote unquote prepared you are. At the end of the day, nobody is prepared.
No, that's true. Well, I know part of the lessons that I've learned is to just, I think, and this will lead me back to that question because I've been giving it some thought. But some of the lessons that I learned would be to just be even more prepared. Like, I don't think I was prepared as well as I should have been when I discovered that I was pregnant with Sean. And that would be one of the things that I would like to change if I could go back, was being more prepared, being more aware, being more balanced. Those things I would like to change. Now, going forward, when I had Xavier, you guys were a great help. So then you became part of the village. So, it would just be like a major reconstructive mindset for me. That's what I would change.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, because I've had those moments too, even with my oldest compared to each kid. I felt each kid made me more like a better parent. Each kid made me a better parent. And I also made sure that I go back, like I went back to try to correct. I guess when I saw it when I was young, when I not when I was younger, but when I had my first one. And then when I saw some things in my second one, I went tried to go back to correct some of those things in the first because you do recognize like certain things, like my patience actually got better with two than it was with the first. Even though my daughter, the first child, she was fine. She was an easy kid. It was just still that level of like learning patience, that level of like watching my tone or certain things like that. Like I had to go back and figure it so that by the time the third one came, I wanted to make sure everybody leveled out as much as possible. Because I mean, what is that? You really can't really do that all the way, but as much as possible.
See, and in your case, you had three separate children. In my case, I had two and then one. So I didn't get the opportunity to, there's no in between for me. Y'all kind of learned on the fly like I did. Like we were a little group. We were our own little group. You two were your own little modes of entertainment. So you know what I mean? There's a difference between twins and three individual births.
What has been some of your biggest struggles as a mom, regardless of if it's the twins or, my brother? Like, what has been some of the biggest, if you had to think of three times that you just knew you were like for real in the struggle, what struggles were they? And how did you, I mean, I know how you maneuvered, but they don't know. How did you maneuver through that?
Well, I'll say one of them was keeping a roof over our head. That was a big struggle because when there's one income, you got to do what you got to do. Secondly, I think one of the other biggest struggles was my self-esteem. Like when you're a single mom, there's rarely any time for you to build your self-esteem because you're only focused around making sure those kids are okay. And that's how it should be, but that was a big struggle for me. I never thought that I was the pretty girl. So, when you struggle with those things, sometimes your self-esteem is low. And thirdly, I think the main one thing I would like to change or struggle with the most was just being able to communicate better. I think sometimes, and especially when you're a single mom, your mantra is just do it because I told you, or this is all we got, and this is and that's it. But I think communication would be different.
But I will say though, not to get all sappy, but I will say that watching some of your communication issues has made my communication better. Like with my kids, like being aware of some of the things that were said or done and just like focusing on like not saying, you know, every kid says, I'm gonna do it better than my mom, but it wasn't really about that. It was like, how can I take that and recognize that and do something different? How can I communicate with my kids? Does that bother you when you hear me say that?
It doesn't bother me only because you should do better than me. But I think the thing that does bother me is if I'm feeling like what I did wasn't good enough, but when you know better, you do better.
So I will bring up a conversation I had with my therapist, which I'm glad we're having this conversation. We just happen to be having it with all of you, which I feel like it's a perfect conversation to have because sometimes people, and we'll talk about this with the no contact, some people struggle with their relationship with their mom because if they feel like their relationship with their mom had strained at certain point just from different things that's happened. One of the things that my therapist had brought up, she's never met you, never knew anything about you, but she literally had you down to the T. So so during one of my therapy sessions, the therapist was saying, like a lot of times as a kid, when we say, oh, we're going to be better than our parents, is because we look at the negative things that happen, but we don't put ourselves in your like we don't put ourselves in your position. For instance, for me, I have a village, you know, I had Marcus, I had my husband, I had different people, you know, guys helping me. I had different people helping me where I didn't put myself in the thought process of where you might have been at the time. Like I didn't consider the fact that at points you were a single mom. I didn't put in the consideration that at points you didn't have the same knowledge that I have now. Like people are openly talking about certain topics that people probably didn't openly talk about when you were growing up. Like you can literally go online and see people have these different conversations. So what I want to say is that I am grateful for the therapist saying that because it allowed me to see you through the eyes of grace. And the reason I say that is because for such a long time, I was like frustrated with certain things that happened when we were kids, but it's because I looked at it from my perspective. Like if you had the same knowledge, the same resources, the same things that I had, and my therapist had to remind me how unfair that would be for me to look at you and the things that may or may not have happened from the lens of me now versus the lens of where you were then.
And that's absolutely right. I didn't have the resources. In fact, when you guys were growing up, they didn't even have half of the baby items that they have now. So that was 43 years ago. You know what I mean? So that part. But you know what? One thing about it though, I'm not ashamed of me. I'm just not, because every struggle, every situation, everything makes me who I am today. And I can honestly say that I am not the person I was 43 years ago. I'm eight times as better and strong as an ox pulling a building.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, I just wanted to say that to you openly, just because I know that that would mean something to you. Because I know that if whenever we have had our own inner struggles has been because of my lens from where I was at whatever point, like in my 20s, looking at you from a certain lens, at my 30s, looking at you from a certain lens. But I just want to say that openly to you as a place of healing to just say to you that I can see where you were then from the lens of attempting to put myself in the lens of where you were and the struggles that you had. And the fact that you're so open about it, that's one thing that I've always told people that I've always said, like, you've always been honest with us about struggles that you've had. And of course, when you're younger, you don't put two and two together. You just hear that, you're like, okay, but you don't really see that. You only see the part that affects you. So, you know, and I am a selfish person at times, and so like my thought process is to see it from my perspective versus looking at it from yours.
See, that's my fault too, because I named you selfish. You
In
understand?
case y'all didn't
So,
know, my name is selfish, just so we're clear.
It does. That's my fault. And I did look the name up. I didn't just throw one out there, but I just thought it was so cute, you know. But anyhow, I thank you for saying that. That is a healing process for me because I always feel like I'm never good enough, but I did the best I could.
Right. And my therapist had to like bring that up to me just because, again, we, especially moms, the newer moms now, again, they have more resources. They have, you know, some people have better support systems and knowledge has increased. You would never have heard people talk about, you know, or having an honest conversation about saying things like, I didn't like the way my mom said, or I didn't like the way my mom did, the way me people are doing it now. Now, some people are doing it to throw their parent beneath the bus. And I get that because that comes from a place of like being upset. That comes from a place of like being unhealed in these areas because, you know, that's the only thing that I would think that could make you still do something to this day. And I know that people deal with that all the time, which brings me up to my next conversation about people, you know, having the no contact. Oftentimes, people have gone no contact with their parents because they feel, you know, their parents were whatever levels, some people abusive emotionally, mentally, whatever. And they have decided now that they have gotten older, they can control certain things that they are deciding not to talk to their parent. Have you ever gone no contact with your mom?
No, even in her craziest moments, nope, that's my mom. You know, now what I will do is when you get too far gone, I'll just leave you alone for a little while, then I'll call you back and check on you, see, you know, if you don't come around. But to be honest, I don't disagree with it, but I don't understand the whole thing.
So I'll explain it to you as best as I can. So the no contact is because, again, like let's say a lot of it too that I know for sure is that, you know, like if you have a conversation with your parent and you're telling them you didn't do, oftentimes as the receiving parent, and I've even had to receive it because like my kids will come to me and say, Mom, I didn't like the way you said it. And it does hurt. Like it'll get you. Like it'll be like, you know, you'll feel like I'm doing the best I can, and I can't believe, you know what I mean? I can't believe that you're saying that. But you know, we're taught now that, you know, to have open that type of open dialogue. But oftentimes people around my age have gone back to their parent and said, I didn't like the things that you said or done. And because that parent is hurt and upset, the parent takes a position of
Dare you?
huh?
They take the position of how dare you?
Right. So then they're not open to having a conversation. And so then that puts the child, which is an adult, back into that childlike mindset. And they're just like, I can't, I'm not telling them to deal with this because they feel like they're not being heard. They feel like there's the message is not being received. So then they go no contact in order to keep their, to basically honor their own mental health, which I get that to a certain extent, because if you go back and you're saying these things happen and you're being dismissive, that can bother you, especially if you're not actively getting help to get through that mindset.
Well, explain this to me too. Who honors the no contact? Like, is it a legal thing? Is it something you go to court for? Or, you know what I mean?
No. It's just
How
basically you stop all barriers of communication, which means like if I go no contact with you, I would block you from being able to contact me. I would take you off all my social media. I would just never bring the kids around, like never visit. So it's not legal, it's more emotional. So you pretty much like if they somehow contacted you through another person, like say a sibling, and they're saying, Mom said call, you just don't call. Like you just pretty much stop communication. So in order to stop the communication, you block the person to having access to you. So it's not legal, but it's more emotional.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what the whole no contact is. But a lot of people have been openly talking about it. I've been watching some of these stud things on TikTok and just being like, you know, watching these the stories, and like sometimes they'll tell details. Sometimes they'll tell details. Sometimes they won't. But some of the details, like I said, has to do more or less with having trying to have an open conversation with someone who's basically not ready to embrace their flaws and continuing. Usually, it has to do with not bracing your flaws, but also continuing the same pattern. If I come to you and I say you're being dismissive and you still dismiss me multiple times, that's what opens the door.
Oh, okay.
I'm
Well,
sorry, go
I
ahead.
am for you. Now that you are, well, you on the back door of 43. So now that you're 43, what is your thought process towards me?
As a mom?
Yeah.
Oh, like I said, I feel like there was things that were said or done that were not, I didn't like it. And I didn't like the fact that I felt like I couldn't tell you that. Like I wish that we would have had better communication so I could have said I didn't like you without feeling like you wouldn't have been receptive. But now I feel like, again, seeing you from the point of not judging you, I can't judge what you did. Like, even if it felt hurtful, even if it felt whatever the case may be, I can't judge it because I never walked in your shoes. So it's easy for me to, again, say, you should have done. I mean, of course, everybody has a shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but none of that matters at the end of the day if I can't place myself in your shoes. So I've taken the standpoint of seeing it from the place of grace and building our continues to keep our relationship building upon that where we are now versus being stuck at a teenager or being stuck at 20 or being stuck at these different places. And if ever I'm feeling stuck, then I just talk to my therapist and we move past that because I don't feel like as I get older and I'm watching other people's parents get older, I just know that I would not want to close a door. Right now, I would never want to close a door to you based upon something that happened when when I was younger. You have not given me a reason to feel that I need to close the door just because of something that happened when I was younger, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm just asking.
And I'm honest, so I would have tell I have no problem saying it. Like I said, I could never take back the fact that you moved us from Ohio. That single-handedly was the best thing that could have ever been done. Does when every time I go back to visit, I'd be like, we could not be here. From where I
That's
used to, when I was born, it just was not a good place to be. I feel like my life would be dramatically strained if we would have stayed there. And I feel like every situation that has happened, good, bad, or indifferent, is a part of me. It has made me who I am.
Absolutely. That's why I won't go back there. I've never been, even as a young person in Youngstown, I knew that wasn't the place for me. I had way too many dreams and aspirations and, just passions and desires to be stuck in Youngstown. So that never was an option for me ever.
What would you tell a mom now, knowing the stuff you know now, not then, but now, what would be your greatest advice for them as a new mom? Or and that doesn't really doesn't matter what stage of momhood they're in, but what would your advice be for a person now?
My advice would be, I'll say 3 points. My first point would be to always have balance. Always have balance. My second point would be, do not beat yourself up because you're human, just like everybody else. And though you got that big old S on your chest for super, don't mean nothing, because even Superman had to become Clark Kent every now and then. He had to run off into the phone booth and put his suit back on. And my third thing would be, love yourself. You cannot raise productive citizens if without love and yourself first and then them. Because basically our only job as a mom is to create citizens that have character and integrity. That's our job. Because we once y'all get a certain age, we can no longer live for you, with you, or through you, but we definitely need to put something in you.
Is there something that you, so what do you see? And I'll ask you for me and Tierra, what are some of the things that you see in us as parents, as mothers specifically, that you would say is different, similar, or however you see it for us now as moms versus when you were a mom?
Well, for one thing, I'll start with Tierra, because she the oldest by 2 minutes.
I think it's a
Don't
lie because
know.
we looked alike when we were born, and I swear I came out first.
Do not roll your
I did roll my eyes because I swear I still was baby A.
eyes. But I'll start with Tierra. I think Tierra is a good mom. I think Tierra needs a village. I do. And I think that she could improve on her communication. I just think that those are the things that I see that are similarities to me when I was raising up. But I also see that because times are so different, she has so many resources that are accessible to her, she'll be okay. You, on the other hand, you are Toy. You've always been that one that just go get. So I see your honesty and your openness with your children, like me, because I believe in that. I don't have no secrets. If I can't tell you what happened to me, who am I going to tell it to? And I don't tell y'all that just to be like, oh, here. I tell you that so you can grow from that, so you don't have to walk that same path. Your children are intelligent, they are sensitive, and they are funny, they're fun. And I really like that part. I think, that's a part of me that you took too, is I love to laugh. Like I just like cracking up, you know what I mean? And I married somebody that's a show enough nut. So I got all my little stuff fulfilled. But I just love life, and I'm glad that you guys took that part, good, bad, or awful, ugly, and made something of it.
So, what would you say to a mom that is struggling? Like, I know you're no longer mothering us, but you're being a mom doesn't stop. Like, you don't stop being a mom just because
Right.
your kids are grown. What would you say to a mom that was struggling with maybe a child that wasn't as receptive to, let's say, whatever happened in their past? What would you say to that mom who is struggling with that? Like the past is merging with the present, and it's not, maybe she's not doing well with that.
I would say be patient. Be patient with yourself, be patient with the child, and just live the example before them. You know what I mean? Children learn by example, whether it's a positive or a negative, they learn by example. So just be patient, just take a deep breath, step back, and just allow yourself to, I would say, survey what is happening and then figure out what you need to do going forward.
What would you say? What would be a message for your own mom if she was listening? Because I don't think she has access, but if she was listening, what would your message be to her?
For my mom, I would say to her, look at what you made. My mom is the, she is who she is. I am who I am to you. But I will say she taught me what I needed to know as a young woman, and she raised me right to be respectful, and you know what I mean, to respond to people the right way and to not be lazy. She taught me how not to be lazy. Because you can't, one thing I will say, moms, you can't be lazy and think you're going to get good results. It doesn't work that way. You got to work hard. You got to be patient. You got to be understanding. And most of all, you got to be centered. You got to learn how to center yourself.
Well, that's good. That's a good message. I mean, like I said, I know for a fact, like we were taught the same. We were taught to get up, cook, make sure you take care of your kids, make sure you do the things that they need to be done for them, make sure you be there for them. So that definitely can't say we weren't taught that. If we're not doing it, that's because we choose not to, but we definitely were taught that.
And you know what else? Get a clean house. You got to have your house in order. Kids can't be looking for socks and they in the attic, or you got to have your house in order for them to be productive, because you cannot flourish in chaos. You can't. You got to
And that's
have your
chaos on all the levels too.
all the levels.
You can't even have, and even with just beyond physical too, chaos if you have a bunch of people coming in and out of your house, that ain't no good either. Because you can have a bunch of folks in there that ain't got no business in there around your kids, and you still creating chaos.
Yep, I
No.
totally agree with
That
that.
works on
You
all the levels. In case y'all were just stuck on the physical, there's a lot of chaos you can create, unfortunately. So don't
yeah.
create it.
And chaos does not produce productivity. It just doesn't. It's quite the opposite. So, just as the moms, I would just love to say Happy Mother's Day. You're doing the best you can with what you have. But if you when you know better, then you start doing better.
Yes. And I would say to you, Mom, Happy Mother's Day to you, even though, I mean, we will talk. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. And thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome. And just for the people, that's the second born. Don't let her fool you.
I was baby A. I'm still standing on business that I still was baby A, and they confused us because we looked alike. We don't look alike now, just in case you're like, if you saw my sister, you'd be like, really, Toy, stop playing. But we do not look alike now. But back when we were babies, we looked alike. So I am convinced that I am baby A. But my mother says for sure I'm baby B only because I was born breech. So she knows that it's me.
And I was there, so I do know.
Well, I
I
was there
was
in the spirit, technically, and I just feel like I'm baby A.
You was B because they snatched her out, then they had to turn you completely around to the normal position, and then you were born. So that was your
Listen,
2 minutes of fame.
I had to make a splash into this world, and I'm still trying to make a splash in this world. So it just all fits. Look at God. Look how he be doing me.
That part. Thank you
Well,
for me.
thank you for being on, and you can actually follow my mom. She's going to be doing some content very soon, and then you can follow her. It's called The Pit Stop.
Yep. Soon it's coming.
Now, what did you think of that conversation? Again, it may not have meant a lot to a lot of people. You might have thought it was whatever, but I believe that that conversation was necessary, and I'm grateful for it. Again, I can't stress enough. I hope that the moms are having their just rewards, that they are being treated with the most utmost respect, especially those moms who give respect. To the moms that know their relationship is strained, I really pray that one day you'll get it right while you're still here. I was on TikTok just yesterday, and there was a young man. He had to be, I would say, maybe mid-20s, and he was talking about, just things he didn't get as a child. So he went back to his mother and he had a conversation. You know what she said to him? And it made me just feel all the feels, which is why I brought up certain conversations with my mom, because it also gave me that moment in real life, not just seeing it on TikTok, was that he said that when he came to his mom, she was receptive. And you know what she said? I couldn't do those things. I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the mindset then, but I have time now. What can I do to make our relationship better? What can I do to make that stronger? What can I do to give you what you need right now? Can't stop what I did from back in the day, but what can I do right now? And I pray for every child that they grown and grown, 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 that they can hear that, right? And for the moms who have transitioned that they probably will never hear that from, I pray healing that you can also give that to yourself, the gift of moving forward. And if you have a child that you're now being a mother to, that you would recognize what you didn't have and use that as energy to give your children the best of you. Happy Mother's Day to all the amazing moms. Happy Mother's Day to my grandparents, my grandmothers. Happy Mother's Day to my sister and my sister-in-law. Never call her sister-in-law. And happy Mother's Day to all of you who are an amazing part of this community. And I hope you are blessed. And I'm sending blessings your way. Have a great one. I'll see you next Friday. And thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.